Welcome back to the 5-Day Reading Plan podcast. It's Friday, and I'm Lance Ward, and I will review some of what we read together this week. And remember, you can always download a PDF of this plan. If for some reason you haven't started, you can download that in the description of this podcast. And I hope, again, that you're realizing just how simple and easy it is to read through the Bible in a year, as long as you can just set aside about 20 minutes a day. And most of us can do that. So I hope you are realizing just how easy it is to do this. This week, we looked at the second half of Exodus, not all the way through, but most of the second half of Exodus. We finished Ephesians, started in Philippians, and read three Psalms, Psalm 33, 90, and 109. As I've mentioned before, it is encouraging to see overlap and common themes when reading the Old and New Testament together. For example, while reading Exodus and Ephesians at the same time, you may have noticed a common theme of God's power in and through us to accomplish things far beyond what we can never do without Him. Isn't it comforting to know that the same divine power that delivered Israel and parted the Red Sea is accessible to us through the Holy Spirit? We have also entered the part of Exodus where God gives the law to Moses and his people. We're also reading a lot of details about the building of the tabernacle. This may be one place where when you read through the Bible, you kind of give up. But that's why I love this plan, because we can go to the New Testament just about the time we get into all that minutia. But it's important minutia. And you may have noticed where the Lord started with the tabernacle instructions, with the Ark of the Covenant, the most holy and sacred part of the tabernacle. I like to think about it this way when I think on that observation. The instructions for the place of God's presence started from the center out. The Lord would have to be the center of everything if Israel was to be the nation He called her to be. Israelite cities, by the way, were often built like this. And if you ever take a tour of ancient Israel, you will see that at the center of the town is always a synagogue, and everything revolves around it. In relationship to this, you may have noticed that Psalm 90 begins this way: Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. It isn't just that the Lord dwells with His people, but that He Himself is our dwelling place, our source of life and hope and all that is good. He doesn't just give us life, He wants to be our life. He doesn't just want to give us hope, He wants to be our hope. He doesn't just give us salvation, He is our salvation. We see that in both the Old and the New Testaments. Speaking of which, Ephesians is one of my own personal favorite New Testament books, if it's okay to have a favorite New Testament book. It is so very rich with timeless principles we need to cling to in order to walk closely with Christ. And I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and I hope you noticed this when you read. Paul often does this in many of his letters. He first reminds the readers of what is true, what has been done for them in Christ Jesus, as he does in Ephesians 1 through 3. Then in this book, in chapters 4 through 6, he moves from what is true to what to do. And you may have noticed a common verb in chapter 4 through 6, and it's this verb walk, meaning walk with God or live in the life that God has for you. In the first three chapters, to sound technical and to sound like I'm very well educated, I will say this: many verbs are in what we call the indicative mood, indicating something that is already true. Then you see a shift in chapter 4 to more imperative verbs, what to do. In Galatians, by the way, which we read before this, the indicative, what is true, is mainly chapters 1 through 4. Then the imperatives just gush out in chapters 5 and 6. And again, let me ask you, why is it important to know this? And it is because of this, because our walk with Christ has to always be grounded first in what He has done for us before we give attention to what we are to do in His name. If we get that order wrong, we might do good things for the wrong reasons. We might do good in order to earn God's love or favor. But in such cases, we need to remember that God's favor has already been given to us in the work of Christ. What we do now is simply to be an outflow of what is already true. Putting the indicative before the imperative guards us from legalism, as well as a sort of begrudging kind of obedience. It also reminds us day after day that we are who we are by grace through faith, a basic truth we can so easily forget. G.K. Chesterton once said this in regard to that. He said, "I believe in preaching to the converted, for I have generally found that the converted do not understand their own religion." And that can be true of us. We can easily forget how important and essential the gospel is to the way our life then outflows. When we got into Philippians, as you read Philippians 1, did you notice how often Paul mentions Christ? He is mentioned in almost every sentence of Philippians 1. And one obvious fact this reveals to us about Paul, his heart and mind were saturated with Christ. I remember hearing a story about a hero of my own faith. Someone who had once spent time with this man noticed that every time he mentioned Jesus, he began to tear up and get emotional. I think of this when I read of Paul's passion for Christ in Philippians 1. He was a vivid example of what it means to be truly Christ-centered, where Christ is just stirring up your affections every time he comes to mind. As we embarked in the Psalms, I noticed in Psalm 109 what a great resolve and discipline David demonstrated in the face of unjust actions against him. He writes, "In return for my love, they accuse me, but I give myself to prayer." He doesn't give himself to revenge. He doesn't give himself to trying to figure out how he can undermine them. He says, "I just go to God, and I go to God in prayer." And I think, man, I need that discipline more often. I don't know about you, but the minute I am, you know, betrayed or someone does or says something about me that I don't like, my mind almost always goes to, what can I do to resolve this? But David says, no, I'm just going to go right to my knees. I'm going to talk to my Father about this. I also noticed the intensity of David's emotions when asking the Lord to take care of his accusers, where he says in Psalm 109, 9 through 12, "May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow." Wow. Read that in light of God's commands to show compassion to widows and orphans in Exodus 22, 22 through 24. To wish something that harsh on one's enemies exposes the intensity of David's emotions in the face of injustice. It also, though, sets for us an example. Rather than taking vengeance when done wrong, we should put it in the Lord's hands. As the scriptures say elsewhere, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, not yours." Vengeance is not an immoral thing as long as the one who is supposed to avenge does so. When we take matters into our own hands, though, rather than waiting for God to settle accounts, we demonstrate a lack of trust in him to do as he has promised, and we, in a sense, become God ourselves. But David doesn't do this. He says, "Lord, you are the just one. You take these matters into your hands. I will not take them into my hands." Easier said than done, though, right? But hey, let's all work on that. And that's the end of this week. So keep reading, keep marking your own observations, and may the Lord help you to see how you can trust and obey as you read his word. And especially as we ended on that psalm this week, maybe something's going to come up in the next few days where you feel like you're done wrong. What if we all, as believers, if our first habit was just to drop to our knees and say, "Lord, I can't do anything about this, but you can. And I come to you and I cry out to you." Let's kind of put that in our back pocket, because sometime for some of us this week, that's going to happen. May we respond rightly and appropriately. Hope you have a great week. Don't forget you can download a PDF of this reading plan in the description of this podcast. And I'm so glad you're joining with me each week. And I really hope this is a blessing to you. Have a great weekend and a great week next week. And keep on reading.